Come get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world, welcome on and back again once again to the Sports Buffoon Studios here at Lenexa, Kansas, of course, possibly future home of the... Never mind. We'll talk about that here in a little bit as we get going, you guys. But it's glad to be back. I know we had a little off week last week. This is the off season, you guys, of course, so from time to time, that could happen, I guess.
Yeah.
We're going to plan on being here for you without a doubt, especially on a week like this where there's all kinds of news to talk about. And we got to get some things off of our chest because last night Twitter was wild. People were upset. People were throwing little hissy fits. It was amazing. We'll talk about that. But first and foremost, you guys, we got Jason JG to my left, Tanner Dawson to my right. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
What up?
Hey, good to see y'all. Good to hang in here again. Now, I feel like we're going to have an interesting month this month, Jason. The drinks are going to be a little different. I got something I've never had before. It's a Sierra Nevada Trail Pass IPA, non-alcoholic. So we're doing a little NA month here on the show. Tanner might not be joining on that, but
I want to say that was at Maloney's yesterday on special.
Oh, really? How much was it for the? This isn't bad.
No, I think it was like a $4.99.
Oh, well,
but it was.
For NAs, it should be like $2. But
it should be $2, yeah.
One of the great things about the craft beer world that we live in currently is that we do have better options for NA drinks these days because, you know, what was it, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you just had O'Doul's and, I mean, a bunch of turd crap out there. Nothing great. Nowadays, you get some good drinks out there. So what do you got, Jason?
Well, I also have the Sierra Nevada. It's the Trail Pass Golden. So I think the best thing about it is y'all are going to have to deal with the JG sober brain for a full month and then sober Mike as well, I guess.
Yeah.
And then and you have to still deal with drunk Tanner, though. So,
well, drunk Tanner is going to be getting hammered off Coors Lights.
That could be a bad mix, actually.
Yeah.
If he's the only one getting hammered during the show.
Yeah, well, he runs the audio. So, I mean, if everything goes out, we know whose fault it was. So, anyways, you guys. Before we jump into the vote and the Chiefs and all the other good stuff, I do want to know, so did you guys enjoy your Easter? How did it go? Did you see hanging out with the family? I mean, what do you guys normally do for Easter?
Yep. Well, grandparents came up, and we kind of just hung out at mother-in-law's house and had a great meal, played with the kid a bunch, and watched some basketball and some baseball. So,
did you watch some winning baseball?
Brewers winning, yeah.
Brewers winning, okay. Yeah. Brewers, at least Brewers won.
It was a Brewers game. So, yeah, we were watching the Brewers win. There you go. So. But it was also Sunday, Easter, in case you guys didn't catch. The Royals won 11-0, and there was 3 or 4 home runs that game. Sal Perez was with his first bomb of the year. So, pretty good things to see, and we had a great save last night. So,
here we go. That is definitely good news.
All I did was go to Easter egg hunts, orchestrate Easter egg hunts, and then I had to go find the eggs myself. That's how it works. And
so you got to hide the eggs from yourself.
So you had to remember.
No. We take turns in our family.
Okay.
It's sometimes it's one person's turn to actually go find the eggs.
Okay.
So I had to hunt for eggs, then I had to hide them for somebody else to find.
Okay.
And then on top of that, go to a bunch of other like organized Easter egg hunts. So
it wasn't. Sober Jason hiding the eggs and the Manhattan Jason.
Oh, no. That was Manhattan Jason.
Ooh, that's a good idea. That's a different game for a different day.
That's a different, yeah, that's a game.
Hide them.
Being sober.
While you're sober, and then you get smashed and go try to find them all.
I like that, Tanner. That's a great idea. You just coined a new phrase, Manhattan Jason.
Manhattan Jason.
There we go. That's a good one. I like that one, too.
The phrase.
Sometimes.
That's the hint, the sign.
I did not partake in such activities. The girlfriend and I went down to Oklahoma City for my first ever NBA game. Got to see the Suns and the Thunder, and the Suns just completely crapped the bed. It was pretty rough, without a doubt.
What was your thought, though? Was the atmosphere cool, the setup, the stadium? What did you like, what you didn't like about an NBA game?
The arena was taller than I thought it was going to be for some reason. Like, when I walked in there, I thought it was going to be kind of, you know, I've been to an arena league game before in Tulsa.
In Tulsa, yeah.
I thought it was going to be more outwardly wide, But this thing, this arena I was in, the Paycom Arena in Oklahoma City, is like very tall.
Massive, yeah.
It is massive. So it actually holds more people, way more people than I imagined it would in that venue. But the experience itself with the atmosphere was pretty good. The fans were really nice. I mean, I was wearing my Devin Booker T-shirt, and no one really gave me too much crap. So I was cool with all of them. I can tell that they're a passionate fan base. The people that were sitting around us seemed pretty knowledgeable about the team and about the game in general and that kind of thing. So that was nice. They do have this, I'm sure most teams do, but they have this like floating balloon with a drone attached to it that just goes around the arena and drops things in an area that you have to catch, like if you want a souvenir, you know, like a T-shirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at some point it was going to like hit the side of the building or the wall or pop or something, but apparently they just have a professional drone flyer fly this thing around.
Have you guys ever seen the old DVD screensaver screens where the box and you have to watch it try to match up on the corner at each time? You know what I'm saying? Kind of sound like that?
It was kind of like that, yeah.
Where you're just like,
Yeah, it was very similar to that, but that whole thing, Thunder, of course, got the big win against the Suns. Otherwise, man, the next day, got to go around OKC and spend the whole day going to a few different breweries, hit up some pretty good ones, without a doubt. Went to Prairie Artisan Ales,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the top ones out there. We've been there before, of course. Got to also check out a couple other ones. I really didn't like Skydance Brewing as well. That one was really solid. It's a Native American owned brewery, I guess the first Native American owned brewery in America. Otherwise spent the rest of the night bar hopping, and let me tell you, OKC gets wild at night. I mean, it was an experience alone. Not going to say I felt particularly safe in the area, but you know what? Stayed out till 1 o'clock in the morning anyway. And it was a lot of fun, and I was ready to stay up all night, but I knew I had to, you know, get ready to leave in the morning. So,
gotcha.
You also said you went to a shithole part of town too, didn't you?
That's
where he was.
That was
that's
the
where he was.
Oh, okay.
That was.
But you had fun though.
I bar hopped all over that shithole. Okay. So, I had fun bar hopping in the shithole. Is what I'm saying.
You made it sound like you went to that town. It was just a big giant turd outside of the game.
Well, there are giant. It's a big giant turd of a place, without a doubt. But it doesn't mean there's not things to do. You know what I mean? Like there's things to do, but let's just say. Well, it was weird because it's midnight and people have their children out there running around the street with just drunk asses everywhere. Just there's nightclubs next to the bars and people, you know, driving their cars and doing, you know, all kinds of crazy
driving
stuff.
Drunk.
You know what I'm trying to go. I don't know. I don't want to explain this any further, you guys, before I dig myself a hole. So I'm just going to move right along with that. Anyways, I still enjoyed the time. I will say I prefer Tulsa. I've always felt that way, but Tulsa to me is just, I don't know, cooler town in my opinion is all. So,
cool.
Guys, so let's talk about those people that are upset online. And we saw, Mr. Jay Binkley, you know, from the 610, just throwing an absolute hissy fit last night after the no vote went through for the tax approval for the new stadium moving and upgrades. And I, at the end of the day, I don't know yet where you guys stand on this whole thing about what went down, but I was pretty cool with the outcome. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are scared that advertising with this whole ordeal was basically a big scare tactic. There was a lot of threats, it seemed like, from both sides of the Chiefs and the Royals, that if you don't vote yes, that, you know, we could leave. The possibility of us leaving is there. You know, the whole keep the Chiefs and Royals in Kansas City slogan that they had basically with the whole advertising scheme was just absolute nonsense. And the people called their bluff. The people went out there and called their bluff and said, no, first of all, your proposal's dog shit. And give us a different proposal down the road, but this one in particular sucks. Mm-hmm. And you guys didn't put any effort into it. I thought that one of our good buddy listeners made a good point about the Chiefs' proposal about their upgrades to the parking lot after Kauffman's gone, about basically making it into this, like, it looked like a middle school art project who just threw some things together in a big random field, and there's a couple of bridges.
Well, they kept changing it days before the vote, too. Like, they
yeah,
kept
yeah.
changing
well,
it. And then
the thing.
You would promise one thing on a Tuesday, and then Wednesday – you would kind of back down to those promises again.
That's how the Royals did this the whole way through.
Yes.
I mean, they couldn't pick a location or nothing. I mean, it was like all thrown together
and then,
last
and
minute.
And then the small business, like, losing your building, the incentives.
The people didn't even
know. They changed it.
People didn't know what they were agreeing to.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, whenever you went in there to do your yes vote, you didn't really know what you were saying yes to, other than the idea that, well, I'm scared that the Royals and Chiefs are going to leave, so I have to say yes. It's like, come on, let's get some balls here. We're better than that here. So, anyways, I'm just curious what you guys have to say about this topic and some of the thoughts from the reactions of people on the radio today and just in general.
Yeah, I mean, a couple different perspectives here. First, for me, as a fan, you know, living on the Kansas side, I don't really give a shit that they voted no. I mean, I could care less if the Royals stay in Jackson County. I could care less if they stay in Missouri. I mean, if they move to the Kansas side, I'd be happy. If they move to North Kansas City, I'd be happy.
What about
that.
Kansas City in happy general? Like, just being in the area?
I think I'd prefer either they stay where they're at, which is,
they're not.
Yeah, they're not going to do that, but I just don't like the idea of a downtown stadium in general. I'd much rather they stay put or go to North Kansas City or go to the Legends. That's just me as a fan. I've told you guys this before. We got a little pushback on this, but over the years, people don't realize that Johnson County, over the past couple of decades or more, has always been one of the wealthiest counties, not in the state of Kansas, in the whole United States. And we got pushback on this, and I don't have any data to back this up except for the fact that it is one of the wealthiest counties.
Oh, yeah.
We've put more, as I'm speaking for myself now, because I've lived in Johnson County for 20 years. I can guarantee you more money has been pumped into these teams from fans in Johnson County than they did in Jackson County. So if you guys want to push that, push back on me again. I'm just giving you the facts. There's a lot more money in Johnson County, and most people know that. So I feel like if they leave Jackson County, then that brings me to the other perspective that I'm thinking of here. My perspective as a voter, if I were voting on this, ever since I was a kid, downtown Kansas City has been a complete shithole. Yeah. It's a giant turd. I've never liked it. You go to many other downtown areas in the United States, you see really nice downtown areas. I've always hated downtown Kansas City. So the idea of paying more taxes, if I'm a Jackson County taxpayer, I'm putting myself in their shoes now, they're already unhappy with the taxes that they pay in Jackson County. And the downtown area is a shithole. So why would I vote yes to just go ahead and put more money, pay more taxes, when I'm already unhappy paying the Jackson County taxes that I'm paying right now? It's just a waste. And, you know, the taxpayers and the people that, you know, run Jackson County, I mean, we all know that the tax dollars get mismanaged, not just in Jackson County, but all over the place. So I'm totally with the voters here on this. I think that you've already proven, if you're a leader in Jackson County, that you don't know how to manage the tax dollars that you're already getting. And the taxpayers are already paying taxes out the ass. Why would they vote to increase their taxes again when you have a shithole downtown area? Because the stadium's not, I'm telling you this right now, a stadium itself is not going to fix that downtown area. It's still going to be a big fucking shithole.
It won't fix it, but it'll be a boost to the economy for Kansas City.
So how do you guys feel about that stigma, though? So, Jason, you said that you don't really believe or you don't really care for downtown baseball stadiums, but that seems to be the opposite of what every other city's done across the board. Is it seems like all of them feel like you have to somehow put baseball downtown. Meanwhile, football can be off in the middle of nowhere and people will show up. Well, why is it that baseball needs to be downtown?
One sport is the most popular sport in the nation.
Sure.
So people are going to go watch it regardless.
Yeah.
Right? So
I'm only going to be interested in watching a Royals game live if there's other things to do around there?
Correct.
That doesn't make sense. That means you don't actually appreciate the game.
That's what baseball is, and that's why they're trying to change the game.
So then the game sucks.
That's just how it is.
So then the game itself sucks. If you need all this extra entertainment around you.
The game just has to have more desires around it.
But why? Like, I don't need anything extra as a football fan for me to be happy about being at Arrowhead.
It's the...
I don't... But for baseball, why?
It's the easiest thing to put downtown. If you put a football stadium downtown, you're going to have so many different...
Like, if you need all these distractions, avenues. you need all these bars and this nightlife and whatever else to enjoy going to a baseball game, then screw it. Then don't even have one. If it's that bad, don't have one. That means the sport itself sucks.
Go ask St. Louis. Go ask Cincinnati, Atlanta.
I'm not going to ask St. Louis anything. Forget that.
Yeah.
They've had a big...
I'm not going to ask them.
Very great stadium.
Here's the other thing that's also going to, you know, bring fans more enjoyment is winning some goddamn games.
That's my big
thing.
That's
all it comes down to, and that's why Kauffman never... This whole discussion to begin with never needed to happen in the first place. I know people say there's structural issues with Kauffman and this and that, and I don't give a damn. There's ways to work around that. And that stadium was built the same damn time as Arrowhead. No one says a damn word about Arrowhead having structural damage. But the thing is, with the Royals, we saw the fans, you know, we were alive to see the Royals here in, you know, 2013, 14, and 15, and what that looked like. And you saw the excitement, and it was packing the house. I mean, 2014, 2015, that stadium was full. Mm-hmm. There were no issues. There was not even a thought by the ownership at that point of, oh, we got to move it downtown.
It was also different ownership.
I know.
Then.
Well, maybe John Sherman's the problem. But
John Sherman comes from a Boston background.
But I'm just going to say, like, at the end of the day, if you win games, you don't need to move your stadium. You don't need to find other reasons for your fan base to be excited and want to go to games. Whenever you're good, we'll be there. But here's the thing. You have sucked ass for the last 40 years. You've had two amazing seasons. You've won the World Series twice, right, over the last 40 years.
We've been in the playoffs twice in the last 34 years.
Sure, yes.
34 years. You and me are 34.
Yes.
We've seen 2 years of playoff ball.
Right. And, yeah.
Yes, they went to the World Series. They won one. Congratulations.
That's it. Otherwise, they have been abysmal the entire way through. So, to me, it's at the end of the day, how about you fix the team first? But here's the thing. In baseball, there's not a way to do that as a small market.
That's what Sherman's trying to generate, saying, oh, well, if we have a downtown stadium, we'll get more money from that downtown stadium.
Ain't going to happen. It's not how it's going to work.
It's not.
Promise you, you're not going to compete in this league like with that kind of thing.
Well,
the reason the Royals were so good.
Not in our market.
The reason the Royals were so good in, you know, 2013, 14, 15 was because of that development. Was because we had young guys in the farm system, developed them, kept them together with the continuity, all was one big piece, got some awesome pitchers on the back end that maybe weren't all part of the development, but at least we brought in good arms along the way. And then, you know, James Shields helped come in and kind of change over some of the mentality at the time of the organization. And then the next thing you know, we're winning a lot of games.
Yeah, smart veteran moves.
Well, the idea that Sherman has for how to suddenly win games in Kansas City with this baseball team by just moving the team downtown as if that's going to be the magic cure is bullshit. So
look,
that's my thought.
All I want to say on this one here, because I agree with you guys on a lot of this here, all I want to say is for those out there that's saying, oh, well, you know, we don't have to go away from the K. The K's gone after 2030. Right,
sure.
It's not happening. We're not staying at the K.
Not by
the
my
K
choice.
K is not an option.
That's a John Sherman move.
County legislator Manny Abarca said he doesn't. Or sorry, quote: the administration has made it clear that after 2030, there will be no more games played at Kauffman. So, reality of saving the K, I don't think exists. And that's where we just got to get over. We're going somewhere. Right? Whether it's Kansas City somewhere, whether it's on the Kansas side, North KC, or Nashville or Salt Lake. And at this point, what bothers me the most is the Chiefs out here. I know that they're partners in a way, but the Chiefs threatening to leave. The Chiefs talking about leaving. And this has nothing to do with the Chiefs.
No.
This has zero relation.
The only reason
for
that
the no
Chiefs
vote to happen
were involved in this was to help
the
Royals.
Upgrade. Yeah.
Was to help
the Royals. Yeah.
That's why they combined the two in the same
Correct.
Vote. The Chiefs were there to basically be leveraged for the Royals' sake. And even then, you got only
42%. Two Super Bowl back to back. You're talking about Mahomes there right now.
So,
you're winning Andy Reid. And
imagine if the Chiefs were not on this ballot, how bad that vote would have gone.
Oh, yeah. It would have been a down.
I mean, you might have gotten
worse than what you had.
You might have gotten 30%. Yes, that'd been it.
Maybe that. Yeah, and that's what bothers me the most is the Chiefs out here are also threatening to leave Kauffman or leave Arrowhead, leave Kansas City possibly, and I'm like,
which we know
this
is nonsense,
which we all know is BS. So that's why I told people, I go, this isn't a Chiefs matter. Whatever you're hearing from Chiefs, don't worry about it. This is a strictly Royals, Sherman, Kansas City kind of deal, and quite frankly, 34 years. two playoff appearances, one World Series, you can leave. Have fun in Nashville. Have fun in Salt Lake.
And it's not going to be because the fans don't want you. It's going to be because ownership felt the need to force their input on this city, who told him what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've been very open about that, about the pushback, and he's not taken well to it.
No.
So, to me, this is on him.
Quite frankly, if Sherman wants to leave KC, sucks.
It's on him.
Love the Royals. But, quite frankly, what MLB has also done for their fans, which is nothing. You can't watch the Royals unless you purchase Bally's. You can't watch on MLB TV because it's a blackout game. Quite frankly, it's a useless team for me right now. So I'm okay. Like if they can't find their happiness in KC, downtown KC, and they can't work out a correct kind of deal, if they can't find their home in North KC or don't want to go to the Kansas side, quite frankly, go somewhere else.
Gotcha. I mean, it's tough words, but I mean, I feel the same way at this point.
Yeah.
It's been frustrating to watch unfold, and it's been frustrating to watch the lack of transparency mm-hmm. within the ownership.
And the changes, the different communication changes of what you're actually voting for just hours before you go and vote. It's just
– Yeah. It's unfortunate the Chiefs had to get thrown into this too, because now the Chiefs look bad on this too.
They do, yeah.
And they didn't need to even be involved. And their whole the thing they threw together as far as the renovation plan was nonsense, and you could tell it was thrown together quick.
Oh, it was.
It was a quick. Let's do a little bit over here and a little bit over here.
We're gonna take the Packers tailgate deal. We're gonna make a field here and make this a tailgate.
How's that work? Give us $1 billion.
We're gonna build an additional bridge to go from a different parking. No, I don't care.
Bunch of nonsense that nobody cares about. Oh, let's have a party party deck.
And then what do they do? What, 4 days beforehand? Oh yeah, taxpayers won't pay for any of it. It won't be towards taxes at all. No, it's a bunch of BS.
So you're betting on it. If you're betting on it right now, you've got them leaving town.
I got them leaving town. I say nobody takes them.
I got a feeling Sherman eventually packs his bags and gets them
really?
Out of here.
And they're going to Nashville.
Well, I think what's going to happen is they will. There will be another vote at some point in the next year.
November.
Maybe November.
November's the next vote.
But they're going to have a new plan in place. Hopefully it's more transparent and hopefully it's more honest about their plans and a better idea,
correct,
first and foremost. And from then, let the people decide again. If people once again say no on that, then don't combine the Chiefs. Stop combining the Chiefs.
It's
Royals
not
need their own
Chiefs.
Vote. Chiefs need their own vote and leave it alone.
I think you got three chances. This was chance one. I think you do another chance, same spot, reevaluate your plan and go from there. And then if not, you pick another location for your third one, whether North KC, Kansas side, or wherever. And if that one fails, that's three strikes, you're out. I think they leave.
Yeah, I agree
Sherman
with that.
Says,
I hope they get three chances. I mean,
I think they do. I think they get all three chances, and if none of them pass, I think Sherman says, I'm going to be exploring elsewhere. And then, quite frankly, the way MLB is and be able to watch your teams, I can't watch the Royals unless I go to the bars.
And it didn't used to be always be that way. I remember back in 2003, UPN would have all the Royals games on.
You had the local
TV. I could watch SmackDown and the Royals game at the same damn time.
Well, irritates me the most too on that is they agreed to a deal with Prime, and we have a lot of people have Prime from Amazon, and I'm like, great, I can, you know, watch it on Prime. And then 3 days beforehand they back away from it, and now it's only on Bally's.
Right.
And I'm like,
right,
so,
before the season
so
begins.
What's the point? What's the point now? So I watched the save yesterday and the ninth inning from Will Smith at serve before I went to play pickleball because they had it on. That's the only time I get to see the Royals if I go to bars.
Yeah. Same for me.
Because I'm not paying.
Same for me. I mean, I do use occasionally the old streaming websites, of course. Right. But honestly,
they've been on Bally's for what, like 5 years now? It seems like.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's like three or four now. And Bally's keeps going under because the parent company of Bally's that was, I can't remember their name now, they went under, but yet somehow we're still streaming. And I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's
pretty sad, man, to think about the possibility of, you know.
The Royals leaving.
You know.
It's a possibility.
My lifetime baseball team getting out of town.
I think
scary.
The thing is,
I'm scared right now.
The Royals could leave, but the Chiefs are not going anywhere.
Chiefs won't. Like,
there's a lot of people crying. There's a lot of people crying online about that being a thing that they're worried about.
Chiefs aren't leaving.
That was a scare tactic from the very beginning.
What scares me more, though, than losing the Royals is the idea of only having a football team, and that's it.
Well, think about it. Like, think about that. But think about the stuff that could open up. The pathways could open up. Mahomes has always wanted a basketball team. What if this pushes the Royals out and brings an NBA team? You already have the Sprint Center.
That I could work with. That I could work with.
You think about it. Like, you could replace one for the other and be just fine.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, as long as there's takers. I mean, that you have to have ownership that wants to be here. And I don't know.
I mean, there's this guy named Patrick Mahomes right now who has –
Let's move the Kings back here. Last I checked, Sacramento's another hellhole of a town, so maybe they want to move back.
Yeah. All right, do we got some comments to run through, Tanner?
Yep. All right, let's look into these here. Dave says, if you want to get something passed, don't threaten people. Put a winner on the field, and people don't give a shit where the stadium is.
Absolutely.
That's true. Truth. Yeah.
That's truth. I mean, that's why it's fine where it's at now. We just need a winner.
Flint Eastwood says the bad batch of concrete at Kauffman, quote unquote, the whole stadium had a bad batch, but Arrowhead had a good batch. Absurd. I'm with you, dude. Dave says if team ain't winning, ain't going. Peeps ain't going. NHL. Hey, yeah, NHL team could be the possibility, too.
Yeah.
Again, a return there of a professional hockey team in Kansas City.
And I'll say in the past, I feel like KC has always been a pretty decent hockey town. I feel like we've supported, you know, the Mavericks and out there in Independence. I feel like get a good turnout.
I thought the Blades were always supported. Like, I always saw shirts on people and stuff like that.
So. I enjoyed those games.
I was still young. I never went. But I had a shirt that said Blades. I knew of the Blades. I was just still too young to actually know.
Yeah, I think if you have a pro team, though, it also helps fans care compared to, like, the IHL and stuff like that.
Yeah, but look like we're doing with soccer right now, right? So we have Sporting, which we ended up winning a championship in early years of that. You have the women's team that just got their stadium. They're winning right now that I'm aware of, last time I checked.
Yeah, they've been winning.
Now – you know, it's not like we can't support another team here.
That's all fine and good, Tanner, but just when you're talking to me, I only care about the four major sports. Don't talk to me about
but
the other stuff.
From a Kansas City point, we do have a professional soccer team that has won titles. So,
can I trade them in and all these other minor league teams and just keep the
Royals?
Because
they're not causing issues.
And get an NBA team?
They're not causing issues.
Yeah. I think we've gone over the issues here at this point with the Royals.
The new scouts. Yeah.
So, all right, man. Well, let's look forward to more people whining and crying. I know people have, I don't know if you guys haven't been to work and talked with your coworkers yet, but that seems to be the talk of the office around most places.
I did. I was there. We were talking about it this morning, and honestly, nobody really gave a rip.
Really?
Nobody talked about it in the chat.
They didn't care.
Today. Yeah.
But I also think they're under the assumption that whatever happens, the Royals are always going to be here. They're always going to be here no matter
Royals?
What. Yeah. I think the people that say, we don't care if
that's
not
a guarantee by any means.
We don't care if the vote didn't pass or not. We're always going to have the Royals. And I think people are just not, like, paying attention to what's going on.
You can have that confidence about the Chiefs. I would understand that, but
didn't Sherman or the Royals organization or whatever, didn't they sign a Crossroads deal or something like that, like 2 days ago, before the vote? There was something to do with the Royals and the people who own the Crossroads, some kind of an agreement before the vote even happened. So sounds like that's the destination, no matter what. It's gonna be the Crossroads.
Oh well, if they don't come off the cross, because that's part of people's problem.
Well, no, they're gonna
problem.
The next vote's gonna be the Crossroads.
If it's Crossroads again, I mean, it's gonna be a no again.
But I think they gotta do better about who they're evicting, is what I think.
Sure. I don't know. I feel like no matter where you move that big square is going to be piss off somebody. So
I don't care about U-Haul, but the other businesses around there, like you have to do something better because they downsized their offer a day before the vote.
Yeah, I'm going to give them time to go back, go think, get everything figured out again, and then come back with a better offer, and then KC can go from there.
Sounds like we might hear something more for the next offer, possibly by August.
So. Hey, that's fair. That seems like enough time. Now, if you were to tell me by June, I'd say, nope, we need more time.
If I hear something by June, I'm going to flip.
It's going to be too early. They need to really think this over.
I'm going to flip.
All right, guys. Well, so let's go ahead and dive in for a few minutes about some news around the league. Of course, before we get to the Chiefs, we saw real quick, man, Stephon Diggs, now a Texan.
Who
would have thought that trade would be happening? I'm sure Josh Allen's not very happy about that.
Can't imagine
losing one of his best weapons. But, man, that's going to be awesome for the Texans. I mean, they already got your boy Joey Mixon, as you call
Joey
him,
Joey Mixon's that down there?
But, yeah, they got, of course, receiving group, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and now Stephon Diggs. That's a really good trio.
You got Dalton Schultz there. Dalton Schultz performed really well for Stroud.
So at this point now, I mean, I feel like the Texans could be the new rival against the Chiefs when it comes to playoff time. I mean, we're pretty close now to possibly having
Mahomes-Stroud
rivalry.
Are we getting what Deshaun should have been down in Houston?
Absolutely. Because, you know, forever we were always going, oh, it's going to be so cool for the next 15
Mahomes,
years.
Deshaun Mahomes
forever, right? And then we saw what happened. And so I think Stroud now is going to, you know, come in and finally make that thing come to fruition. And that'll be a lot of fun because both these guys are amazing athletes.
I'm a little afraid of the hype that we get to the Texans. You know, still got a newer coach, defensive minded coach, Mayo State, in the Texans organization. You got still a really, really young quarterback who had great success last year, but that team also took a step back. So I think it's really up to the draft at this point to see exactly where they go because they got to go defense at this point and O-line.
Sure. Yeah, the offense looks totally fine. Yeah. So. Yeah, you gotta go defense there for the Texans, but I still think they look pretty good. I mean, we know the Bills now take a step back, right? I mean, I would assume
they've already taken step backs, but
sure, but
yeah, no, you like your receivers now are Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and there's one other guy. Can't even put my finger on it.
Oh, it's the off season, Tanner. It happens to me all the time.
Can't put my. I saw it today. I was like, "That
if,
is."
If you can't think of the name, that means he sucks.
You got. Oh, yeah. He sucks. Yeah. No, but you got. What's his face? The tight end lit last year. Not Knox.
Kincaid.
Kincaid. Yeah, Kincaid's your number one option.
Sure.
James Cook, Kincaid, and then you got the receivers.
Yeah.
I like what the Texans have done. I mean, if you're gonna beat Mahomes, you have to go all in. Especially while you have C.J. Stroud.
Seen that before.
No, but while C.J. Stroud is on that rookie contract, you've got to move like right now. This is your best chance to go ahead and try to beat Mahomes. Maybe it's going to work, maybe not, but at least you can say that you took a big swing.
Are we thinking Diggs is going to be better than he was in Buffalo?
Not better. I mean, he's a year older. But, I mean, if you can get the same or similar production, that's all you need.
I think he'll be just as good in the regular season.
What about
postseason? He'd probably suck like he always does.
So what about the sayings on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff about Diggs' chemistry, his locker room, his attitude being a cancer in the locker room? Like, what's your thoughts here
with a
team like that?
I think that Stroud has the type of personality that can kind of rein him in a little bit, at least for a couple of years. Now, Diggs is always going to be a guy that wears out his welcome, and he's kind of reminds me of James Harden. I mean, he'll be productive for you for about 2 years, and then after that, all bets are off. But I think Stroud is the right kind of leader
now,
to at least kind of get Diggs to do what he's supposed to do, at least for one, I'm saying 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
1 to 2 years.
What did you just say?
Diggs is a professional.
You just compared Stephon Diggs to James Harden? Are you saying Diggs is out here throwing games?
Did he not wear out his welcome in Minnesota? Did he not wear out his welcome?
No.
The Bills fans hate his guts, dude.
The whole reason Diggs sucked the last seven
every
games
time,
is
you know,
because of his performance?
Just
and not the play calling and not the quarterback?
I'm saying they hated his guts. When Harden
That's
left,
unreal, dude.
When James Harden left Houston, they hated his guts. When he left Brooklyn, they hated his guts. When he left Philadelphia,
yeah, they had a right
to
hate his guts.
They hated his guts on steroids because he would play for 1 to 2 years if you're lucky, and then it just something happens. He's that guy that just he can't stay in the same place for very long.
Wait, I feel like you're blaming Diggs into this thing. This isn't a Diggs fault at all.
Why do all the Buffalo fans hate his guts?
Because Starsky hates the guy's guts.
I don't think it's just Starsky.
It's a group chat he's in. They all hate him.
I get it.
There's a handful, but it's not his fault.
I think the Bills fans
didn't give up on the team. Harden gives up on his teams.
The Bills fans were tired of Stephon Diggs' complaining bullshit.
You know why?
At the end of two seasons ago. Not at the end of last season.
You're keeping Joe Brady. You're keeping Sean, whatever, McDermott. And this is the whole issue of Buffalo. It's not their players.
It's
their coaches.
Fans don't like whiners and complainers.
Unreal, dude.
People who will put their head down, be a professional, and do their job. That is not who Stephon Diggs is.
Stephon Diggs isn't a complainer. He's a guy who holds people accountable. This is the right type
okay,
of player.
So who's going to hold him accountable for his playoff performances?
Well, the coaches are going to
be. Are we just
going to
sit around? That's the other comparison.
What do you mean his playoff appearance or performances? You're blaming Stephon Diggs over the coaching staff and play calling and Josh Allen?
Josh Allen
can't perform in the playoff.
That's why I'm complaining.
Consistently.
That's another reason. I'm glad you brought that up. That's another reason why I compare him to Lardon.
This is unreal, dude.
Fat-ass Jimmy Lardon, superstar in
it's
the regular
Jimmy
season. What'd you do for me in the playoffs?
Lardon?
Hey, fat-ass Jimmy Lardon.
Issues,
hey, Stephon Diggs. What'd you do for him in the postseason? Oh, let me think here. Oh, yeah, you didn't do shit.
Because
okay,
he doesn't.
Now we're happy you're gone.
James Harden is the reason for himself of why he doesn't play well. James Harden is not a player. This is not a Stephon Diggs, James Harden. This is ridiculous. That is such a ridiculous
thing. They're
both. They are not.
It's a fair comparison.
That is two different
types
of players.
It's a fair comparison because they're both
awful.
Complainers and they're unhappy.
That's unreal.
No matter where they go,
unreal,
dude.
Unreal, dude.
Hey.
That's an insult. I don't like Stephon Diggs anymore as much as anybody else, but that's an insult.
How much money do you want to bet he's gone before the end of his third year in Houston? He will wear out his welcome just the same way that he always does.
For holding somebody accountable?
Who's he going to hold accountable? Himself? He
hopefully Stroud. Hopefully the receivers. Hopefully the team.
You're going to hold Stroud accountable?
Yeah. He's a young guy. Have a vet come into play that knows it's played other quarterbacks.
Nah, Stroud's not that guy, dude.
Are
Stroud,
you agreeing that James
Stroud,
Harden and Stephon Diggs are all one?
Stroud is not that guy. CJ Stroud is a leader. Okay?
But you still need a veteran guy in your head when you need it. Like, you're not just going to be a leader all the freaking time. Mahomes had to have Travis Kelce.
Like
Mahomes
I said,
had to have
man.
His linemen. Mahomes had to have Blaine Gabbert, Chad Henne. He had to have certain guys.
Hey,
he
man.
Wasn't just a leader the entire time.
I hope it works out. I want to see them in the AFC Championship for the next 2 years.
Oh, speaking of which.
I want to have that competition. But I'm just telling you.
Starsky, dude.
Like, Diggs is not that guy, bro. Doing? He's not that guy.
Well, we got Starsky on there.
Starsky says it was Diggs the second half. He had targets. Age is caught up with him. Diggs tweets are on him. Don't even talk about his social media.
His
social media isn't the issue.
I disagree with that. It's
Diggs,
not his age. It's his attitude.
Diggs dropped a go-ahead
a
TD
attitude.
In the playoff game. Yeah, people drop shit, dude. Look at Tyreek Hill. Look at Travis Kelce. Diggs dropped the ball. It's not Allen. No, it is on Allen because of the way he doesn't give him opportunities. JG is right. Diggs is amazing for 2 years and the years out. Whereas welcome.
Hey, I'm telling you.
This is amazing. Dude.
Hey, if you took a vote in Bills Mafia right now, I promise you, 70% of them agree
Bills
with
Mafia
me.
Bills Mafia probably hates Sean McDermott just as much. So what's the point? You're only saving grace. You're like, oh, we got Josh Allen. Okay.
Congratulations. Draft a wide receiver that will put his head down and work.
That's
and stop
stupid,
complaining
dude.
About other people.
Stephon Diggs works.
Oh, he works in the regular season and for about 2 years. And then he'll fly the coop again.
Like I'm not going to dive into the argument. I'm letting you guys do this, but I just want to make
well,
one
I know.
Comment.
We only have 45 minutes. I know
right,
you're not going to dive in.
From a surface-level, generic standpoint, I see where Jason's coming from when he says that they're similar styles of people because, you know, with Diggs, he's fine in the beginning, the first few years with the team, and then you can see it slowly start to develop into more issues as time goes on. Same thing happened in Buffalo. So it happened in Minnesota. Happened actually
so,
back in college
because,
first. And then it happened in Minnesota. Then it happened.
Because the guy hates
the Bills.
Losing. We're going to discredit him for being frustrated.
I'm just saying, there's a reason Stephon Diggs went in the fifth round, and it had a lot to do with his attitude.
Well, yeah.
He's done this everywhere he's been.
But
going back to probably high school.
When,
I don't know.
When
but,
you hate losing as much as he does, and you're.
I get it. They're professional athletes that care about. I understand.
You don't get a lot of those guys.
Here's the thing. You know, Chiefs fans here, we've seen Travis Kelce throw a lot of fits, though, right? We love him, right?
Pushing Andy Reid.
No, but we love him, right? We forgive him for his antics. Why
sometimes.
Is that? Because at the end of the day, we know Travis Kelce is there for the team, and he cares about the team. He wants to win, so of course he gets pissed off when we lose.
So are we saying Stephon Diggs isn't that way?
No, it's a different kind of personality.
Really?
It's a different kind of personality.
I've never taken it that way.
It's because Travis Kelce, at the end of the day, when the game's over, is going to talk about you know, himself and the team and how they need to do better as a group. Stephon Diggs is the person who's going to say, everyone else is the problem but me. And that's the difference of personality between what Kelce does on the field versus Stephon Diggs and the actions and attitude. Is it the personalities are not the same because one guy is all about making the team better and caring in that way when one other guy's caring about himself because everyone else is a problem, not himself.
I'll say one more thing on this, and then I'm going to leave it alone. The only difference between James Harden and Stephon Diggs is that Diggs never put himself into the fat suit. That's the only difference. But they basically have similar attitude problems.
And I agree. I give Diggs 2 years in Houston. I could see that third year being where the issues begin, if they are not winning consistently. But we'll see. Maybe this will be a different topic down the road later in the season when football's rolling around again. We'll see about all that.
God, I can't believe all right, that comparison.
Let's jump over to Chiefs now. So, all right, guys. I did not have time to go home today to grab my Mr. Fresh Prince of Elair t-shirt, but Clyde is back with the team. It's funny enough because the Chiefs declined his fifth-year option and ended up re-signing him anyway, obviously on a lesser deal than we would have paid. But did you guys find it interesting that J.K. Dobbins was in for a visit yesterday, and right as J.K. Dobbins was in for a visit in Kansas City, Clyde Edwards-Helaire suddenly swoops in out of nowhere and signs a contract for a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe there was some leverage being played there by the Chiefs, and they might have used Dobbins being in town as a way to get Clyde to just freaking agree to the contract he'd been offered?
Absolutely, they used that leverage. But I tell you what, like, I got really excited. I think a lot of people got really excited when they heard that J.K. Dobbins was going to pay us a visit. And then after about 5 minutes, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I don't really want him because he's never healthy.
I would have taken him.
You know, so yeah. I'm glad we didn't sign Dobbins.
I like Dobbins as a talented player.
I'd love to see, just give him a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been up for the idea of it for sure. I mean, he doesn't need to touch the ball more than 100 times in a year at the most.
Yeah, Pacheco.
So, I mean, I'd get Dobbins 100 carries for the whole season.
I'd take him over Clyde all day.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. I think at the end of the day, Clyde knows the system, knows the offense and all that kind of stuff. So
I'm very shocked. I was very shocked to see Clyde sign because I really thought he would go, was it the Bengals OC that was the former LSU offensive coordinator? I think that's why he's at for the Bengals. So I'm really shocked he didn't go to that system, just knowing Joey B and, I guess what the OC there, so
sure. Good at old LSU team with Ja'Marr Chase and
Joey
Burrow.
And I'm just Clyde. I was just kind of shocked to see him resign with KC. I'm just like,
I was a little surprised too. But I mean, if you're Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you got an easy job in Kansas City. I mean,
you do.
You're the backup running back to Isaiah Pacheco, who's going to get 20 carries a game, and it's on a team that's going to hand you championships. I'm like, you know what? It seems pretty easy. I might as well stick around and let's keep doing it, I guess.
It was a fairly team-friendly deal, too. So
I'm not mad about it, but I still think the Chiefs need to get a running back in the draft no matter what.
Agreed. I just said that, too.
This current running back depth room is not pretty after Pacheco, and I don't really care for what we have to work with at the most. I mean, Denarius Prince, we never really saw that thing come to fruition last year, even though there was some hype around him in the training camp preseason. The Chiefs did make a signing, Tanner. What's his name again? Our rugby dude.
Former European star. Hang on, I gotta go back up. Former European star rugby, Luis Riz-Zamit.
Yeah.
So he's just quick background for those that don't know about him, and I've been reading up on him for a while too. He's 23 years old. He announced he was leaving for the opportunity for the NFL back in January. He was a member of the Welsh's national team since 2020. The guy has been playing rugby since he was 18. He was on the Welsh national team against the international league in 2020. He had already already competed in multiple Six Nations last year's Rugby's World Cup, and was selected for the British and Irish Lions tour in South Africa in 2021. At age 20, he was the youngest player to make the Lions since 1959. He also has once clocked 24.2 miles per hour in a rugby game. Speed has made him a try-scoring machine with 14 tries and 31 matches for his country, including 4 in the last year's Rugby World Cup. So this guy can move. He can roll.
Yeah, athletically, I liked his measurables. So he's 6'3", 209. Yeah. Sounds like at the they have a international player combine that they put together.
4.44 40-yard dash.
Yeah, 4.44, that's pretty solid stuff right there.
Which would have ranked fifth in tailbacks in the scouting combine.
Which he's listed right now as a running back for the roster, but I think his measurables make more sense as a receiver. And maybe we'll see how that goes. I could see, if you look at the way his body's built, kind of, I could see why they say running back, but I think he might be better as a slot receiver.
Yeah, I'm interested because it was a three-year deal, and this doesn't have the deal on there. But you don't sign guys just to three-year deals and not plan on playing.
They're going to give him a shot and see,
so
see what happens.
I'm interested to see how he gets worked in. Could he be more of a what we consider like a Cordarrelle Patterson, where you can move him outside and keep him inside, Mecole, a Tyreek Hill, whatever you want to call it, that kind of playmaker. In the way, so I'm we'll excited see. To see exactly what happened here.
It's a lot to prove for a guy who's never played in the NFL or football, American football in general.
Yeah.
So,
but he knows about it. His favorite player. He said his favorite player was DeSean Jackson when he was playing with Andy Reid. So,
alrighty then. Well, so we got that going on. Of course, there was this old fella over the weekend. You know, while I was down in Oklahoma City, somebody 2 hours south of me was down in Dallas driving some cars really fast. Apparently, so. He just thought it'd be fun to, get a rental and,
Lambo.
him and his buddies just go riding around town apparently at 6 o'clock at night. So middle of the day, actually, I mean, it's still daylight whenever the accident happened. But, of course, there was some questions at first about where he went, why he left the scene, all the other kind of stuff. I think we got most of that somewhat figured out at this point. There's a lot for the most part. I mean, I think There could have been something in their systems at the time.
We're still talking about that. Okay.
That as to why he would have left the scene. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you had a rental and you had another car that was in your name.
And you had two people hurt. They're treated for minor injuries. So
yeah. Either way, stupid. Just dumb as hell. Stupid. I mean.
So just to be clear, has he turned himself in yet?
Yes. So he made a statement today. He says, quote, "Today I met with the Dallas PD investigators regarding Saturday's incident." And then he said, "I take full responsibility for my part in this matter and will continue to cooperate with the necessary authorities. I sincerely apologize to everyone impacted in Saturday's incident," unquote.
Yeah. So Mr. Rashee Rice, who, had a chance to be our WR1 this coming season. I don't know what to think of all that at the moment.
I think
he's going to be missing some games, I think, because the league punishes you for making them look bad. If you make the Shield look bad in any kind of way, then you'll get punished.
Chiefs are going to make him punished too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Reed and Veach are out there. So
absolutely, I agree with that.
I think, thank God, nobody died in this one. Not just from a fan standpoint, but just from a person standpoint. So that's the best part here, and I think that will kind of help in a way. But just leaving the scene and just not being responsible in the end, it's gonna probably cost him, I think, almost a good chunk of the season.
And it really, we signed Hollywood Brown, obviously. I mean, it puts a damper on, thinking about this receiver room. Because you start to go, okay, if we got Rashee Rice, we got Hollywood Brown, and then draft a guy, I mean, that looks like a really good group all of a sudden. And it's like, now it's like, okay, we don't know what's going to happen. Now we don't know.
Now you're going to draft a guy, have Hollywood Brown, and you're going to have Kadarius Toney.
It's one of those things, it's annoying because it's every goddamn year there's somebody. I mean, it's every year. It's every year. Tyreek Hill, sometimes multiple times at times with his issues. And we had Kareem Hunt. We had Willie Gay with the vacuum. Tell me out, Tanner. There was many more. I'm just blanking on right now. But it seems just like every year somebody does something stupid.
Javon Belcher.
That was way back.
That was in season, too.
That was actually in season.
That was in season.
We were in the middle of a deep playoff run. Yeah.
Yeah, deep playoff run.
I think we had a total of one victory up to
that
point.
For that number one pick. Gosh, man.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill with his drama.
Well, it's like,
don't forget that.
Well, he still has drama every year.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill.
Still.
I'm glad he turned himself in finally, but.
Well, he didn't turn himself in. He just made a statement. He's not. There's no warrant or anything. So Dave stated
too.
Not turned in, warrant, but
turned
he talked with supposedly. PD.
I mean, I can make the
case. Cooperating with police officers.
Yeah.
We don't know what the situation was at the time. I can make the case that if he was hammered during the incident, then he did the right thing by walking away, because then they can't get a tox report on you. They have no clue.
It still wasn't the right way.
I know, but if they don't have your blood alcohol there's no evidence for him, that you were there's no evidence that you were drunk.
Yeah, I guess for him.
Yeah, and I'm saying this if he was drunk. Now, if he was doing this sober and he left the scene, then yeah, that was there's no reason for that. But if you're just doing it so that they can't get a tox report on you, it actually makes a little bit of sense in a court of law.
I do think there was some ammunition in one of the vehicles, and that might have been part of the issue as well. I don't know.
Shocker.
You know who those guns would be registered to, but
yeah, but that to me, I feel even like that's
this is a year in year out story. Doesn't matter if it's the Chiefs or not. In the NFL, it's a year in year out story.
Even if you've got guns, though, that's not as bad as driving drunk. You know what I'm saying? Like they would have nailed it for that.
No, I agree. Yeah, no, I know. I think there's definitely a major reason about why he walked away, which will be uncovered down the road. I'm sure.
I guarantee you, he was probably hammered. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I'm just trying to piss people off by saying that he did the right thing. That's all I'm doing here. If you haven't noticed.
I'm not pissed about it. I don't care other than he's going to hurt my gosh damn football team. That's why.
All right, over under on games here. Is he going to miss two games or
what?
Games missed. He's games doing missed. A suspension game, Tanner.
Over
suspension.
How many what's our number?
I mean,
you want to say 2.5?
You said over under
2.5.
No. You said over under, so you have to set a number.
Well, okay. I want you guys to help me set the number. I'm saying he's only going to miss two games because, you know, I mean, what did he do?
Two people were hurt. Went to the hospital.
What was he in the car?
Fled the scene. He drove the car.
Did he admit that he was the driver?
He drove the car.
Did he admit that
he came out? There's video of him coming out of the driver's side. So. Okay, so that's four incidents. So you're talking 3.5. Let's say 3.
I need some more evidence.
You want
man.
3 games?
I need some more evidence.
So you're saying under?
Until we get more evidence, then I don't think he should be suspended for that.
What do you want?
I don't think he should be suspended for
that.
Maybe
you
one
want
game.
4K HD video with a close up of him coming out of the car.
I want facial recognition software that guarantees me that was him.
You don't even know what the video is. So I'll have to show you that later. Then.
Anyway, okay. I think he should only miss one game.
As of right now, would you just say this was a car accident where he was speeding?
I would say
so then how many games does that give you if that's all it is?
Hey, I'm starting at one. I've always been at one. But as the evidence comes out to support more games suspension, I can see it getting up to 4. But right now, there's no evidence outside of whatever Tanner said, there was a stupid video or something like that.
There's stuff.
Yeah. Okay, let's do two. I'll do two games.
Right. I'm going to say 3.
You're going to say 3.
Right now, yeah. 3 games.
I'm probably going to go on the higher side just because we talked about the Shield. We talked about the Chiefs as well. I think more of an internal suspension is going to happen. I'm going 8 games.
Eight games? Holy cow.
Do you think this is a better or worse situation than the love tap slash kick of Kareem Hunt a few years back?
Is this better or worse than Justin Ross? How about that one? You know.
Wait, Justin Ross? He didn't hit nobody, though, right?
He missed a few games.
Yeah, but it came out.
Didn't he trash an apartment?
But it came out that he didn't hit anybody, right?
Sure, but there was some kind of domestic violence involved.
Okay, but nobody got hurt.
I just think it's funny.
Not that I know, but my point is he missed games. He was suspended.
How many games?
What did he have missing? 4 or 5?
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt, but you got suspended 4 games.
So is it better or worse than what?
This is worse.
My point
is worse?
Yes, it's worse.
My point
two
is.
Two people got hurt.
You're talking about people get hurt, okay? When Kareem Hunt did the kick slash love tap, nobody got hurt, and he got freaking fired. So I don't understand. You keep saying over and over again, oh, this person got hurt or that person got hurt. Nobody cares.
Nobody
They'll fire
hurt.
You, dude. They'll
not,
fire your ass if something's on video.
I'm not doing this with you, Jason. I'm not doing this with you. I know you're sober.
Oh, I see Jason's point.
I just can't do
this. Rashee Rice is not.
I just can't do this.
Rashee Rice, to our knowledge, is not on video driving
to your
a
knowledge.
Car. No. He's not on video driving a car and injuring people.
Clark Hunt's
Kareem
feelings
Hunt,
got hurt.
Kareem Hunt was on video not injuring someone. He got freaking fired.
He hurt Clark Hunt's feelings. Jesus Christ.
So I don't know where you were going with that, Tanner, but I'm sticking with the two games.
All right.
Because he doesn't deserve more than that. Unless we get more evidence, please.
Sure. No, that
Your Honor.
Sense. It's still early.
Evidence.
It's just happened
more
on
evidence,
Saturday.
Your Honor.
It's just happened on Saturday, man. I get it. All right. Do we have any comments real quick, Tanner, to check in on before we move along?
Let's look.
Come close to wrapping this thing up.
Let's see here. Dave said they found weed, ammo, and the Chiefs playbook in the car. Does that help you at all?
The Chiefs playbook?
Yes.
At least he's studying, right?
I don't like that at all.
Two games.
I don't want that information out in the open to a third party bidder who can just come back and do a spy gate against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Dave says two games.
I don't like that at all.
Flint Eastwood said the legal hand down punishment well after litigation or the court case is over. The thing takes forever to get processed. Suspensions come next season. Very possible. Yes, that is very possible. Eight games, it's not like, Dave says, eight games, not like you broke a fucking vacuum, but he still put a mom in the freaking hospital, dude.
I don't.
Injuries, and he fled. That's a big thing to me. He fled. He didn't help anybody. Injuries were minor, and charges will most likely be a misdemeanor, which it will be. Starsky said, this is like the Chappelle episode where R. Kelly denied being in the pissing videos and having the Grammy on the shelf. JG doesn't. What does he say? JD doesn't believe in it's the rice video. I know.
Here's the thing. I don't care about the weed. I do not care about the guns. Obviously, he was not drunk because they were never able to give him the breathalyzer because he fled the scene.
Right.
Again, could have been a smart move. We don't know. But the playbook thing bothers me because I don't want that shit out in the open. So now I'm pumping it up to four games.
So now you're worried about the playbook.
Now he's somebody. A son of a
well,
bitch.
Well, this could be
opinion.
Where
so not,
Andy.
Not anybody else has the playbook.
Let him smoke weed. I don't care. Yeah, people carry guns in their cars all the time.
If I'm Andy Reid, I just suspend him for the Raiders games. Pick the easiest opponent, and you can sit out this game.
Yeah.
Well, that could be Denver, too.
Yeah, Denver, too. You know, let's make a mockery of him. Let's pick the easiest game, and you're suspended for this one and that one.
I should have known you guys figured out a way to talk me up to the four games, I guess. So
I'm saying three as of right now. So we'll see how it goes. But there's a lot of time, guys. We'll figure things out as we go.
If they go 4-0, this is going to be water under the bridge, and nobody's going to care.
Yeah, I mean
those first four games, just go 4-0.
It's pretty true. I guess then you're going to want
at that point, Rashee Rice will be the hero of the situation.
He played a lot of snaps this past year, so he needs some time off anyway.
You think he's a good role model, Tanner, Rashee Rice?
Not right now.
But he will be
I think, Tanner, you guys later both have on, young daughters. I think you guys should make sure that your daughters look up to these athletes. I think it'd be a good idea. I'd say start teaching her, hey, you need to look up to what these people are doing on and off the court and on and off the field.
I like Mike Tyson.
And start living your life that way. If you want to be successful in your life, you need to do what these pro athletes do.
I like Mike Tyson. He's kept himself clean for a long-ass time.
Yeah, you like Floyd Mayweather, too.
Oh, yeah.
So both are good people. So
yep, solid human beings.
Just yeah, I like it, guys. So looking forward to how that turns out for everyone's kids. So let me know in a few years.
Floyd Mayweather's the GOAT.
I really thought.
All the good news is after your kids do something bad, you can then blame it on the athlete and say that they taught them to do that. It's now their fault, not you as a parent.
I really thought these topics we had today, there would be minimal buffoonery.
Yeah, I would love
buffoonery.
I would
it's
love,
been a very serious show.
This is
you know me. I would love to blame other people for all this stuff. Can't blame other people for that playbook situation. Yeah. Shouldn't have had that in the vehicle, bro. Shouldn't have had that playbook in the vehicle.
Mr. Scott Cobe, I think, was saying what's up.
What's up, Scott?
Scott, you're joining in late again. Does he come on at the end of our show these days? Is that what's going on?
No, he thinks we're doing our normal 2 hours, and
I mean,
we're not.
He just anticipates JG's still not being here.
That's true. He probably figures you're still at the casino.
Yeah,
I'm on a schedule now.
They might start at 9:30. We'll see. See here, Dave says Michael got his athletes are shitty peeps when he was young too.
Well, I grew up a '90s Chiefs fan. I mean, I have to see enough of that. So
Scott was on the baseball show. Go Brew Crew.
I mean, I thought Andre Risner was a role model because he was nicknamed Spider-Man. So, I mean, look how I turned out. So, I just thought.
My brother, Eric, liked Andre Risner, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was Spider-Man.
And now he's a police officer. So, I mean, that's an amazing thing. see what good could come out of these role models we have.
I can't believe he's a cop, dude. That's crazy.
What?
You just said Andre Risner's a cop.
No, I'm not talking about Andre Risner being a cop. Son of a bitch. We got to get out of here, man. I don't know. What, do we have any more topics? I think we're...
He seems like...
We talked... So, if you missed our show recap today here, we talked about Mike's OKC trip. We talked about the vote in KC, the Jackson County. Are the Chiefs and Royals going to move? Probably more so the Royals than the Chiefs. We talked about the Stephon Diggs trade and the impact there in the Texans. We talked about Rashee Rice incident. We talked about the rugby guy coming into KC with the 3-year deal, in which we'll learn more as we go on there. We talked about Mr. Clyde Edwards, who we apparently picked over J.K. Dobbins. So I think we covered a lot of the news that's happened. There hasn't really been, outside of that, you guys crazy.
Have a favorite yet? If the draft was tomorrow.
Oh, draft? No, I haven't checked.
Any draft things for you guys? No.
Not yet.
Shaquille O'Neal was a cop there for a little while, but that's great, man. I'm happy for Andre Rison. I didn't know he was doing that with his life.
Yeah. So he turned himself around. So
Final Four, guys. Any favorites?
Tanner, Final Four.
By the way, in case you guys haven't heard, Starsky out there took our bracket picks, put it into a pool. Mm-hmm. And he's about to win some money off of it. So
$12.
Apparently, we didn't do too bad as a group with Troy. So.
Okay,
I do want to see NC State just win one more game.
You think beat Purdue?
If they can just win one more game, I'm happy with it and get obliterated. Get obliterated by Connecticut, nobody's gonna care.
Yeah, I think.
But I do want to see NC State get that game.
I think it's UConn's final to lose. It's championship to lose. Whether Purdue or NC State come out the other end.
They have to implode. I mean, they're that good. They have to have a significant meltdown to lose this thing.
Bama has to come out and play an even better game than they did against a hot Clemson team in the Final Four here. And I think NC State, they just got to continue to play their ball. I really think that the big guy there in NC State, he can outdo Edie for Purdue. Edie's very slow on the transition, Mark. So as long as you get beat him down on the transition, and I think you're good. I think you're set. So I think there's ways and capabilities for NC State to win this game and get to the championship game Monday.
Who would you give the best chance out of the three teams to beat UConn?
Alabama.
So this is a UConn. This is basically the championship.
Basically,
right here.
Bama, UConn, whoever comes out of that, I think wins the final. Which is, please don't be Bama. I don't want UConn either.
Roll Tide.
Please don't be Bama. I don't want to hear about. Oh, we're a basketball school too. Look at us.
Yeah, we can do it all.
I don't want to hear about that.
I think next week, you guys, we should talk some NFL draft. That'd be a good idea.
Get into it.
Well, I mean,
it's April.
It's going to be a couple weeks out by the time next week rolls around. So
it'd
be good to jump into that for a few.
So Scott said he was doing the baseball show. He also said, how about the Thunder getting bombed in Boston? Thunder have, since you went to that game, the Thunder
have kind of
stunk it up a little bit.
So. Well, is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander back?
He's back.
He's been playing.
Game,
right?
So the but game
he,
I went
but
to,
he also
not
re, did he, didn't he re-injure a couple days ago?
I don't know about that. I just know he missed a few games, and that kind of threw off his rhythm. That was when Mike went to that one game he didn't play.
That'll be interesting there. We are getting closer to the end of April, which means NBA playoffs, so we'll have to bring that up too. And Scott says the NCAA wants to see Purdue and UConn in the final. Watch out for strange calls against Edie to get him into the foul line. It's true. Mm. It's true. So, but, yeah. I think that's kind of covers what we got coming up here. So,
all right then. Well,
happy draft month.
Thank you guys for joining us for a while today. Of course, I know we missed last week, so hopefully this one made it up to you guys, and we get to let our thoughts be known on the vote process of how all that went down. And if you guys are running around town in Kansas City listening to sports radio, I'm sure they'll be spending more time crying about it as we go. So,
that's not a lot.
It's going to be an ongoing event for sure. Where it's not just going to end after this. It's still going to be talked about for quite some time down the road. So, anyways, let's see what we got coming up next week. April 10th is the day, I guess.
April 10th.
Yeah, rolling up. You guys got any final words?
Stop giving tips at fast food restaurants. It doesn't make any sense.
Who's giving tips at fast food?
Too many people. A number that's higher than zero
are
giving tips at fast food restaurants. Stop it.
Who's asking for this?
It's happening. I mean, Subway does it.
Subway does it?
Oh, yeah.
Those employees never see that money, dude. Stop doing it.
It happened to me today at the casino. I went to a little fast food thing kiosk there they got.
Okay.
There's a tip option on there. They go, oh, really? You want to leave a tip? And all they did was hand me, you know.
The food.
Yeah, that's it. Just hand it to me. That's it. They didn't.
They even talk to you.
I can make a case for Starbucks, but there's no guarantee that they're seeing any of that money either.
No.
Yeah. If you're going to give them cash tips, I'm cool with it. But stop fucking pushing the buttons.
When we have more free time next week, we should have a little tipping topic again. I think we did that once, but.
Yeah, we did. We did. It was a pretty in-depth one.
Yeah.
Oh, we did do it. I don't know if we need to get into it.
I guess that's true. We did do a pretty in-depth one not that long ago, and I gave my theory on it, but.
I didn't realize more places were going to the tip mode.
It's a scam.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's going to be more and more. As long as you allow it, Tanner, it's going to continue to be more and more. Pretty soon, when you go to check out your groceries, if you go through an actual person instead of the self-checkout, they're going to be bagging your groceries, and then you're going to turn your tab and, hey, do you want a tip on your grocery bill? I know it said your groceries are $88, but leave me a 10% tip on top of that.
5 years
because
from
I bagged your groceries.
5 years from now, that cashier is going to be a robot anyway, and they're going to ask for
tips.
So
he might have lived on the street. I mean, at this point, we have
the robots need tips.
All the homeless.
Just give them cash.
Because if you don't tip his ass, then he's going to be living on the streets.
Scott wants a theme on the shows next week to be tipping and towels.
Oh, we got to get back on the towels.
Tipping it. Scott loves the towel segment, dude.
Yeah, I will
he
say.
He loves the towel segment.
I was very tempted to take one of the towels home from my hotel over the weekend.
Did you?
I've got a
pair from the Aria Resort and Casino in Las Vegas.
I did not,
you
but I thought about it.
You said that.
I do want to say, you guys, you should never use the pump shampoo and lotion.
You talked about that,
You should never use those that are in the shower.
Why?
At the hotel. You should never use.
Nobody ever told me that.
The pump shampoos.
Mike did.
Or a body wash that's already in the shower.
Has it got cancer in there?
For everyone to use. You should never use those, ever.
Hmm.
You need to bring your own body wash and hand shampoo.
I didn't know they had cancer stocked in there.
I don't know how much I need to explain about why you should never use the public. The hotel room you're staying in, that everyone shares the same shampoo bottles and body wash that's sitting in there for everyone and just... Forever.
In the shower.
In the shower.
That's also not what you
should
discuss
never,
with the group either. So
you should never use those.
I don't understand.
Just bring your own.
So Mike also stated that you don't even know if that's the correct liquids in those pumps.
So it does cause cancer.
So no, well, you don't know if you're using a body wash for shampoo.
Okay.
So you don't even know if that's the right pump that you're supposed to be pumping out. So, I mean, why trust other people? Just bring your own stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just bring your own shit.
I'm going to start doing that, actually.
Yeah, don't use the public ones.
Mike Wisdoms. Mike
you
Wisdom.
You guys talked me into it because I didn't know you could get the vid from doing that shit.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Flint Eats.
Safety first, you guys.
Flint Eats wants to tip us for choosing your restaurant. That's right. Ooh. And then Scott says, JG, everyone knows, don't use that stuff. So apparently.
Wow. Hope I don't
so
have.
Other people, but you've been using it for a while, I guess.
I hope I don't have the clap or something.
The good news is there's self-serve hair gel in there, so you don't
even
have to.
The hotels you go to, you might be okay, because you take the towels and stuff. So
yeah, you got Vegas, man. You're in Vegas. Everything's
okay.
Fine in Vegas.
Vegas doesn't
Tahoe.
Have that. No, Vegas.
You don't have those?
Vegas has single serve.
I was at a Holiday Inn, so
it's sealed.
They just have
it
a
be really iffy.
Community shampoo and body
it
wash.
Be really iffy.
I feel really enlightened after the show. You guys have really taught me a lot all of a sudden. That never
so
happens.
So for your future traveling and divorce. Harvey said that word. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Everyone behave themselves. It's Wednesday, and I got to get out of here. So if that's all we got, guys, then I will see y'all on the next one.
Outro.
See you guys. Thank you.